the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. You see, when we pray in faith, believing in God's will, the answer is already on the way. Sometimes it may be delayed. One time with Daniel, well, the angel said, I've been on my way here for 3 weeks, but there's been a fight going on in the heavens, but I've prevailed. And so sometimes we find a delayed coming, a delayed answer, but the answer was already on the way. And it says in Acts 2:4 and 1-4, they call us 2x4 preachers because we can't preach without talking about Acts 2 and 4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire and set upon each of them. And they were all, everyone say all, filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. Hallelujah. Now what happened is that Jesus ascended into heaven and he sat down at the right hand of the Father. And as soon as he sat down, he sent down the Holy Spirit. He had told his disciples, I will not be with you, but I will send the Comforter, and he will be with you. And whereas I'm not there, but he will be with you forever. And so he sat down, and then he sent down the Holy Spirit to the young church that was gathered there. There appeared unto them divided tongues as of fire, set on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. What an evidence it was that day. But I want to talk about additional evidence. Additional evidence. That comes just a little bit more here. Additional evidence as we recognize that that there is more evidence that is given whenever we are able to see that the Lord uses us. Peter and John are arrested. You say, oh no, they didn't know they were going to get into all of that. But you know what the fruit of that was? It was a new church that was planted by their being arrested. Look at this, Acts 4, 1-4. But Peter standing up, pardon me, Acts 2. But Peter standing up with the 11 raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. And here's some powerful words. And they continued. Chapter 2, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and prayers. That is a scripture that tells us that we are to continue in worship. We're continue in a local church, in attendance. We're to have fellowship, and we're to be continually receiving the teaching and to have fellowship one with another, the breaking of bread, the communion, and in prayers. You see, the power of Jesus is given to a possessor of the Holy Spirit. You've heard about people being demon-possessed? I believe in that. I've dealt with that. But you want to be not demon-possessed, but Jesus-possessed. You don't want to just be demon-possessed. You want to be Jesus-possessed. You want to get free of those spiritual attacks upon you and get Jesus-possessed and be Holy Spirit-possessed. Spirit-possessed. Holy Spirit-possessed. See, the next thing that happened is this evidence began to continue. A lame man is healed. And in Acts chapter 3, verses 1-10, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. See, they were Jewish believers in Jesus. They believed in the Messiah, and they went again, just like they always had, to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. Certain man, lame from his mother's womb, which means that he had a birth defect. It wasn't an accident, but he had been lame from his mother's womb. He was carried, whom they daily laid at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. You know, as I began to study this, I saw something else there. Someone had a ministry of carrying him up there every day. A ministry of helps. You might say, well, I don't think I'm a preacher, but there's something that you can do. Jason said that on the screen a while ago, that there's something happening out there on Beckham Street on Monday evenings. There's something you can do. There's a song that says, surely there is something I can do. Lord, use me. Do not refuse me. Surely there's something that I can do. That was the ministry of someone, an unnamed, an unsung hero, that was his job, was to take this poor, crippled man up there to ask alms from those that entered the temple. Verse 3, he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, and they asked for alms, and he fixed his eyes on him with John, and John said, look at us, look upon us, look at us. And I'm sure that his heart leaped. He thought, I'm going to get a big tip today. I'm going to get a good offering today. They're going to put a lot of money. Must be a rich man. He says, look on us. He gave his attention, of course, expecting to receive something from them. And so he was smiling real big. He was very expectant. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. He said, oh, no, another one of those kind. But then he said, but what I do have, I give to you. Such as I have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received their strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. Isn't that what they were doing there on the video when the Spirit of God came upon them? They were walking and leaping and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who had sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. They were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. I want to tell you, this God that we serve is worthy of having wonder and amazement, because he is majestic. He's magnificent. He is the miracle worker. He is the life changer. He is there. Acts 3, verse 16. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. How did it happen? And they said, through faith in his name has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. You see, the Holy Spirit increases faith. It is a giver of faith. It is a gift that is given, that is the gift of faith. Along with the gift of the Holy Spirit, we have the gift of faith. And so now we find that everybody wasn't pleased with that. They were not excited about that, because it was telling them something they could not explain. Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Now he that spoke to the people, the priest, the captain of the temple of the Sadducees, came upon them, bringing great disturb, that they might taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. You see, the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. That's why they were Sadducees. They were sad, you see. They laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. So they get arrested by the Sadducees. But they weren't Sadducees. They weren't, because they had the Spirit of God within them. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. You see the additional evidence? There were 120 that went to the upper room. Now, 500 had seen Jesus, it says, as he was resurrected. But 380 stayed home and 120 went. If I missed my algebra, will somebody correct me, please? But I think I'm right. And so, but look at this, 5,000, from 500 now to 5,000 people accepting the Lord that day. So they're raised up. They're in front of the court system. But there's a promise that's given in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 18. It says, on my account, you'll be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. For it will not be that you that's speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You see, the Holy Spirit will speak through you. And it is probably going to be as you witness in the language of the people that you're around, unless you've learned Spanish and you're in Mexico. It'd be great if we had the gift of Spanish. I've heard of some people that have experienced that. I had one experience in my life. I was in India, and it was late in the evening. We were late getting to this Porja tribe. But Brother Joab said, we don't have time to have a service. There's just a little light bulb there, a few people gathered around. He said, let's just pray for the people. So we were praying for the people. And I just, as I was praying, I wasn't praying very loud. I began to pray in tongues. And all of a sudden, this lady did like this and pointed to me and started answering me. And I said, I don't know what I'm saying, but I just continued to answer her back in the tongues that God was giving me. Now, I still don't know to this day if it was in the Porja or if God changed that to where she could understand it. But I do know that she went away praising God. So I know he could do that. But the fact is, it's the power he gives us in our own language to reach out and minister to people. And when you're raised up in front of something, you don't have to wonder what to say if the Holy Spirit's in you, because the scripture says he will give you what to say at that very moment. I hope that's what he's doing with me right now. I believe that every anointing message should have all the gifts of the Spirit in them, and that we would be able to do that. So he addresses the Sanhedrin, full of the Holy Spirit. And in verse 5 through 12, he says, and it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. When they had set them in the midst, they asked, so here they are on trial, by what power or by what name have you done this? Verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. There's one baptism, but many fillings. And we need to be filled because we leak. This world around us, it quenches everything godly in us. And so that's why we come back to the altar. That's why we come back and we say, Lord, do it again. Do it again. Fill me with your Spirit. We need the Spirit every day. One time someone said, do you have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit to go to heaven? And the person answered, I don't even want to go to the grocery store without the Holy Spirit being in me. And I tell you, when you go to the grocery store, the Holy Spirit's in you, you'll find something kind to say to those Walmart clerks. You won't be complaining. You won't be fussing. You'll be blessing. You'll be encouraging. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Hallelujah. Don't we want Jesus to be the chief cornerstone of our lives? Don't we want Jesus to be the chief cornerstone of this church? That it's all about Jesus. Isn't that what the song says? That it's all about Jesus. It's the worship. It's all about Jesus. That we want him to be the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other. For there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So sorry, but Mohammed's name will not do it. Buddha's name will not do it. No other name will do it. It's the name of Jesus. Verse 18. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. You get a full salvation in you. You got to go tell it. You got to go tell it. There's something in you. It's an overflowing of Jesus that wants to come out through your lips and say, we cannot help but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. The man was over 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. Verse 31. When they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. Talk about an earthquake. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. So it wasn't just in the upper room. It continued. And they were all filled. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. So additional evidence of the Holy Spirit is boldness. That you are not filled with fear. That you are able to reach out and to take the message to the ends of the world. To take the message to the lost. To go into the places that are there. And when I began ministry, and it was an impossible situation. These long-haired hippies on drugs, and I cannot. As I look back now, I say, how did I get that boldness to do what I did? I mean, I would stop over here on 155 on my way home at night at midnight, and go into an all-black pool hall. This white guy going in there and share the gospel. I don't have any scars of knives in my belly. You know, somehow God protected me. But it was a boldness that came upon me. Now, you need wisdom too, praise God. So what we've experienced today on this Pentecost Sunday is the coming of the Holy Spirit. Now, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit moved upon the prophets and they spoke. He moved upon people, and the Holy Spirit was there at creation, moved upon the waters and was there. But that day, it was called the baptism in the Holy Spirit. What is the difference in water baptism and the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Water baptism, which we will experience next week, is that statement to the world that I am going to identify with Jesus Christ who died and was buried. And someone said that it might be better just to bring an empty casket up here and have you lay down in it for a while and put the lid down for 2 seconds. to symbolize what it means. But that's what it means, is that you are buried in the water and then you're raised up again. And so we baptize you according to Jesus, in the powerful name of Jesus, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then you come up. And what I say is that you're sopping wet. In fact, I've had to baptize a few people that I didn't get them all the way under. For some reason, I still saw some dry spots. And so I would do like this, you know. Because you're supposed to be soaking with water. See, and the reality is, yes, we're going to let you dry off. But in the Spirit, never dry out. Never dry out. Let it always be there. And so we recognize that's what we're going to be doing. It's water baptism. It's a statement to the world. And it says, I know that when we began to work in Romania, they told us that at a water baptism, now they won't just let anybody get water baptized. I mean, they've got to see their life has changed and so on. And they don't really, in the altar services, come forward and say, I want to do the sinner's prayer. They just say to the pastor at the door, I think I'm ready to get baptized. So then they put them in a class and they find out what born again really means. And they repent of their sins. And on that day, they come in wearing white clothes and they invite their friends and their relatives, and it's a huge crowd that comes. And they told me, they said, you know, at weddings, funerals, and baptisms, we preach the gospel. Said there's people there that would not come at any other time. There was this one man that had been a communist, and he got saved in our church, and he came and said, I want to be baptized. And when he was baptized, 75 of his communist friends came to watch him get baptized. And so it's a great, great event, a celebration. It's a statement to the world that there's been that life change. And what happens at water baptism is that there's a candidate, and that's the believer. The believer is there as a candidate and says, I want to be baptized. And so you have to ask to be baptized. We're not going to force anyone to be baptized. You have to ask. And so you're there as a candidate for baptism. And there's an element that is there, and it's water. And it probably won't be too cold. Now, in February, we might have had to put the stingers in there, you know. But some people know what I'm talking about. Had to warm it up. But it would have warmed it up. But I think that it's going to be all right next week, because people are already swimming in the lake. And so the element is the water. And there's a baptizer. And that's whoever does the baptism, a pastor, someone, you know, a father. We ask the fathers to baptize their own children here. And so it's the baptizer that is there. And he's the one that takes the candidate and puts them in the element. And he's the baptizer and brings them back up. So that's water baptism. Now let's talk about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Very similar. There's a candidate. Again, a believer. I believe you have to be born again before you can be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Yes, there was examples of it all happening at the same time, and I believe that that could happen. Most of the time, a person comes in repentance to the Lord, and they have a genuine repentance, and it would be fine to begin to say, I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit that same day. But most of the time, as they continue to walk and learn about the promise of the Father, then they begin to be a believer that is a candidate asking to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so at this point, the water is not needed. The element is the Holy Spirit. It's not baptizing in water. It's baptizing in the Holy Spirit. And the baptizer is not any man or woman. It's not something. Now, there's times we have examples of people laying their hands on people, but they're not the baptizer. Only Jesus can give you the Holy baptism in the Holy Spirit. He is the baptizer, and he is the one that can give you that gift. And he takes you in his arms, and you say, I need all that you have for me. I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. He says, are you willing? You say, yes, I'm willing. Jesus takes you in his arms, and he fills you with the Holy Spirit. It's not just a drop on the head. It's a filling. It goes into you, into your innermost being, and it begins to come back up and flow out in a heavenly language, in a language of love, and in the fruits of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit that he gives you. And so it's Jesus that is the baptizer, and he takes the believer into the element, the Holy Spirit, and he saturates you in there. And, you know, not just a sprinkle, but you say, I want to be immersed in the Holy Spirit. And I want to have the living water all over me, the Holy Spirit. And I don't want to ever dry out. I don't want to dry off. I want it tomorrow. I want it next week. I want it next month. I want it next year. I want it in all of my life. You see, we are those that can be filled with the Holy Spirit because we have the promise of the Father in us as well. Luke chapter 11, verses 9 through 13. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. And so the first step is asking for more of God, asking to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Seek, and you will find. That seeking can be getting ready. It said that they tarried in the upper room for 10 days. I believe it when it says they were all in one mind and one accord, that it took some personality clashes getting healed. It took some forgiveness taking place. It took a time there of repentance. It took a time there of purifying and putting to death the flesh. That there was things there that were needing to be dealt with because the Holy Spirit will not dwell in an unclean temple. You've got to clean that temple up through repentance so the Holy Spirit can come in. And it says that, so you ask, you seek, and you find, and you knock, and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks, receives, and he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened unto you. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you, then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So he's the giver of this gift. He's the one that we can ask and that we can receive. Randy, would you come? The first gift. Worship team, would you come? The first gift that is needed is salvation. Let me tell you what conviction is. Conviction is that you hear the truth of God's word. The scripture says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Scripture says repent and be converted, and then times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord. The scripture says that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so repentance is seeing the truth, seeing your sin, saying, I'm not ready for heaven. I need to be born again. How can you be born again? Can you enter the second time in your mother's womb? The scripture says no, but it's being born of the Spirit. It's when He makes you from a sinner to a saint. He makes you to come in and to be able to have that transformation in your life, to where that, yes, the Holy Spirit is there at your salvation. He's the one leading you to Jesus. He's the one convicting you of your sins. He's the one saying, that's true. That's true. You need to listen. You need to come forth. Man, woman, boy, or girl, youth. If you don't know that you've been born again, today is your day. It's a time for you to walk forward and say, I want to receive Jesus as my Savior. I want to repent of my sins. I want to become alive. I want to be able to have that change in my life. The scripture says if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. And so we recognize that to be those 5,000 people that day, that's what they did. They were added to the church because they had a spiritual experience with Jesus Christ. They believed the truth. They repented of their sins. They said, I want to be a follower of Jesus. They said, I'm not going to rebel anymore and go my own way. I'm going to come and I'm going to follow Jesus. 5,000 people at once said yes. Would we have 5 here this morning? Or 4, 3, 2, or 1? Or 50? That would say, I want to be born again today. I feel conviction in my soul, and I need Jesus Christ in my life. Would you stand with me, please? This song says, standing on holy ground. I believe that's where we're at today, and I believe that even around this area here that becomes our altar, that God wants to save people. He wants to baptize people in the Holy Spirit. He wants you to come and ask for it. He wants to heal you. He wants to reach out to you. And so we're going to just say, Holy Spirit, right now I pray that you will use this time. Your word has been preached. We have evidence of salvation. We have evidence of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we pray that you'll move among us now. Move among us now, we pray, oh God. Let your word penetrate our lives that we would be able to say, you are my God, and I want to serve you. Come forth at this time. If it's your first time to be saved, somebody will help you, and they will lead you to the Lord. Come forth at this time. Amen.